You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner in situ alongside Dave Tindall to preview two events this week. We've got the Qatar Masters on the European Tour and the Arnold Palmer Invitational on the PGA Tour. A warm welcome to the man sitting opposite me here in the studio as well, Dave Tindall, who's wrapped up warm this morning.
It's fashion.
Is that fashion, that?
I wear a scarf.
Do apologise.
I went to a 90s disco the other night.
Did you?
And put on my Liam Gallagher Paisley scarf. So I'm in a scarf-wearing mode.
Very good. Very good. Where was that 90s disco?
In Saltaire. Tim Burgess out of the Charlatans was the DJ, if that means anything to you.
It means absolutely nothing to me.
Hopefully it will for some listeners.
Yeah. And did you enjoy yourself?
I very much did, yes. Rolling back the years.
Very good. Last week on the podcast, you had three picks in the event in Florida, and you managed to get, I think, top 20 with all three, but none of them placed, which is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, Schwarzer was the biggest disappointment because he was right there, wasn't he? I think he got to he tied for the lead at one point, 80-1 nap he was, and
yeah,
just kind of run out of gas at the end, took a double bogey on one of the bear trap holes and fell away. But yeah, at least I had a run, at least. But good tournament, that. I ended up watching quite a lot of it.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed
it. I watched
proper winning, low score, high score even.
Yeah.
And you don't get too many of those these days, but you certainly do at the Honda Classic.
Yeah, Sung Jae-im getting his breakthrough win on the PGA Tour, beating Tommy Fleetwood, who's yet to win on the PGA Tour, Dave.
Did someone mention that?
Yeah, I think that was mentioned.
Yeah.
As you said a few moments ago as well, it was a high quality tournament in terms of the winning score being 6 under par, and I think that's got a lot to do with the golf course. And it's a shame that PGA National doesn't attract or hasn't attracted as high a quality field as we come to expect, because the crosswinds make that just a very, very difficult test. And that's what, because it's windy and there's plenty of water in play,
it's
a lot of fun to watch.
It's almost, could they maybe do the Florida swing? I don't know.
I think it's moving in the schedule, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
To where?
After the Players.
Right.
So it's expected to
attract
a better field in the future. Well, the tournament organisers hope that will be the case.
Because obviously that's the main reason why it doesn't, just the scheduling and people that want to play, you know, loads in a row ahead of the Masters. But yeah, I really enjoyed that tournament.
And
Cracker.
Sung Jae-im is the tour's Iron Man, isn't he? He seems to play every single week and deserves success for
in
him.
In more
after.
Ways than one, because he ranked first for strokes gained tee to green.
He did. And we've got to speak about Paul Azinger's comments. I think his paymasters will be delighted with the amount of column inches and airtime his statement has been given. There's a little bit of truth to what he said. I think it's been blown out of all proportion. I think most players do want to win on the PGA Tour. And if Azinger had used a different pronoun and said won on the European Tour, or rather than that European Tour, I'm sure it wouldn't have been as controversial.
Yeah, it's slightly maybe where he's from. Maybe that's more of the language that they would say, possibly. Yeah. We pick some funny courses. It's all very well winning it. I didn't say Valderrama and they're like two of the best courses. Pick some rubbish ones. There's enough to go at.
Yeah.
But he's down the years. He said some stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Was it Seve who said the American team is 11 gentlemen and Paul Azinger? So he's always, you know, done his thing. I don't mind it if he's on TV and looking to get a reaction, and he has got a reaction. I don't know whether even deliberately was.
I just think that's his way, and I think semantics played a part as well to a certain extent.
He's not the most evil man on the world, but I wouldn't be particularly rushing out to go for a drink with him.
Absolutely, my thoughts exactly. Sammy Valimaki won in Oman got to mention at this juncture Ben Coley.
Oh, what an effort, yeah.
Unbelievable. I know him through Twitter and you know him personally, Dave.
And who, Sally Valimaki or Ben?
Ben Coley. Just an incredible effort to put up both winners at those prices.
Yeah, 250s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a great effort. And I didn't see any of that tournament, so it must have been fairly thrilling for Ben, because didn't
it was
Stonehole 20 footer or something to,
yeah, to go ahead by one.
Yeah.
Valimaki had the par 4 18th to play, then he hold a 20 footer to tie.
Normally when you've backed or tipped someone in that situation, you're thinking there's no way I'm going to get the kind of few little breaks, you know, people don't hold 20 foot, you always think something's stacked against you, but it just went his way, didn't it? And it as Ben had said, he'd won a lot on the lesser tours, hadn't he? Like three in a row at one point. So it was Matt Wallace did something similar, didn't he? Just kept, if you win a lot, that habit of just winning, somehow it serves you well, doesn't it?
Definitely. He putted sensationally in that final round as well. I actually managed to catch quite a bit of it because I was on the William Hill shop service on Sunday morning, so I had it on in the background and was tracking it, knowing that Ben had put Valimaki up at 250 to 1. It was an astonishing performance.
Yeah.
And showed real fortitude to make birdie at the final hole and then win the playoffs. So it was superb.
And he's playing again this week.
He is in the Qatar Masters. We'll spin through the betting here at William Hill, available on the William Hill website and on the app. So do make sure you get involved. Check out all the markets for the golfing events this week. And we'll start off with the Qatar Masters. Martin Kaymer heads the betting at 14-1. Thomas Peters is 16-1. Robert McIntyre is in the betting at 18s. Joost Luiten is 22-1 shot, along with Matthias Schwab. Mike Lorenzo Vera, 25-1. George Katsaya is 28, along with Hao Tong Lee and Thomas Dietrich. And it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. Remaining in the Middle East as the players head north from Oman to Qatar for this season's Qatar Masters. Got a change in venue as well. Doha Golf Club has been home to this championship since its inception in 1998, but there's a move to the Education City Golf Club this year.
Isn't it? Yes,
it is. That's ironic, isn't it?
The player's going to stay at the Very Good at Maths Hotel.
What do we know about this golf course?
It was designed by Jose Maria Olazabal.
Yep.
It's still in Doha, which obviously, you know, the weather's going to be fairly similar, I would imagine. It always gets windy there. So the summer, when you go in blank, you sort of look for a few pictures. I was looking for reviews, couldn't really find anything.
Yeah.
But I always think, what have you got? So it's in Doha, it's going to be windy. If Olazabal's design, you always think they design it in their own image, so you think he's going to reward iron play. That's a guess, but
it just looks like that. I was looking at the flyovers, it looks like a standard, typical desert
drop-in
track.
Course in the Middle
East.
Yeah,
waste areas. It reminded me of Emirates Golf Club to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Water in play on a number of holes, waste areas, but still generous fairways as well. So I'd expect that desert form that we've seen in the opening part of the season to translate.
Yeah, I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel with it, do you?
No. Par 71, as you mentioned, designed by Olazabal and similar in distance to a lot of the other desert tracks we've seen this season. I've got one selection for this event.
I thought you had none. Have you suddenly come out with one?
I've got one in Qatar one. We talked about this off air, and one in
Bay
in Hill.
Each, yeah, I've got one in Qatar as well.
Okay, do you want to fire away first?
Yes. I didn't want to go too short in the betting, given the fact that we don't really know.
Me neither.
So I've gone to 80-1.
I have as well.
And I've gone for Conor Syme.
Okay.
You haven't?
No,
that's good
not.
Then. Looking back at some of the other winners in Doha, Andrew Coltart.
My selection's been cut, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
66-1, right. So I'll have to stick with it at this juncture.
Yeah, Andrew Coltart was the inaugural winner. Paul Laurie's won a couple of times. I think Mark Warren's finished runner-up. So you guessed Qatar, windy. You think Scots will enjoy this place.
Yeah.
And I think there's a really nice young breed, isn't there, of Scottish golfers who are really maybe feeding off each other. Mm. Maybe Robert McIntyre's leading the way and pulling some of the others along. So Grant Forrest was one I looked at, but I'm going to go with Conor Syme.
Yeah.
Because as I say, I'm guessing that it's good iron play is going to be rewarded this week. He had a great run of greens in reg figures earlier in the year when he played Alfred Dunhill, Mauritius and South African Open. He was in the top four for greens in reg in all those three events, finishing 11th, 9th and 22nd. And then he came back nicely with 10th in Oman last week. Mm-hmm. Got better every day, 73, 70, 69, 68. Again, hit a good number of greens. So based on talent, based on a kind of educated guess here in Education City that it'll be suitable for him, I thought 80-1. When I was running down the prices looking for him, I thought I'd get to 50s and find him, and I thought, have I missed him? And I kept going there. He was at 80s. I thought, that's a fair price on his talent and his current form, I think.
Yeah, I'm a touch annoyed. My selection's been bad. It's been cut in the last, I think, 15 minutes. But
if only we'd started this earlier.
Yeah, Xander Lombard.
I
thought he was a cracking bet at 80s. He's been cut into 66-1, but I'll still play him here. He's worth chancing as a European Tour winner in waiting, so to speak. Had a couple of runs around Doha Golf Club without any real success, but did have a 65 on debut at that course. And I thought there was plenty to like about his performance in Oman on his return to the European Tour last week. He was tied for 25th, which wasn't a bad performance given he'd flown straight in from Mexico. He'd been in the WGC and finished a more than respectable 26th in Chapultepec. He ranked 19th in strokes gained on approach last week, closed with a round of 65, which I thought was very encouraging in Oman. And I'm really hopeful for a big run in the desert from a South African who should be able to handle conditions. And you look back through the record of winners.
Yeah, it's full of them.
It's full of South Africans, yeah. Justin Harding won it last year. Brandon Grace, a two-time champion. You go further back, Retief Hoosen and Ernie Els have won the event as well. And not only that, you see a number of them pop up in runner-up spots as well. Darren Fickart's been a runner-up here, Louis Oosthuizen, Jaco van Zyl, George Kutsaya. I just think something about the golf course, maybe it is those slightly windy conditions suit South Africans.
Yeah, Grace used to say the Bermuda was grainier than normal.
Yeah.
And that was, they were a bit more used to that. That was obviously on the old course, so whether it's similar on the new one, but I think there's a really good South African restaurant there where they play rugby union, where they watch rugby union all the time or something. I don't know. That
I prefer the the grainy Bermuda
than the
narrative.
Good mental, good mental attitude and after them.
But yeah, I thought. I mean, he's been cut into 66 now, which is a bit frustrating. But I thought Xander
still
Lombard,
right, yeah,
is still okay. I expected him to be around about the 50-1 mark. So a couple of selections there. Do you want to spin through the honourable mentions here?
Yeah,
any of those at the top end tempt you?
Ross Fisher has played excellent stuff in the desert, hasn't he? He's got two top sixes and a top 10 in four starts in the desert events.
Is there a more frustrating golfer to back than Ross Fisher?
Well, if you've got some each way money on the six,
I suppose.
If you watch him blow for blow, but if you just look at the end, and
you always
see where he finished.
I just always think he's bound to be involved in the mix, and then he last week he was up there around one. Dropped away two and three, comes flying back with a superb fourth round, and that just seems to be that's what he does. That's who he is.
Eddie Pepperell made me laugh on Twitter. Did you read what he said?
He said that he skipped last week because of coronavirus, and
now it's even more deadly.
More deadly. He's back.
I'll enter. Yeah,
yeah. I did see that.
So I don't know whether
I wouldn't have thought he'd be the sort of character, would be scaremongered, but maybe
you don't know, do you?
You don't know.
I think
coronavirus is a lot more serious than some other people do.
Do you think loads of sporting events? Do you think golf will get called off?
I think it
has already in terms of the China Open. And
I think there's a possibility Mauritius, because we've already had the Six Nations called off, and now there's rumour that the Cheltenham Festival is under threat, for instance, and Premier League games are going to be played behind closed doors, perhaps. Yeah, I think it. It's the things that aren't a necessity, isn't it? Like, you can't shut the tube stations because people still need to get
but
to work.
You could argue that the Saudi International was played behind closed doors because no one watched it.
That's true.
So could you just carry on?
yeah, possibly.
Obviously, stuff goes into hosting a golf tournament, but it's not absolutely, you know, you don't need thousands of people watching it.
Do you think sponsors might drop out because of the loss of... I know there'll still be TV revenue, but loss of...
No, as long as there's TV revenue.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, you film it close up, you don't have big wide shots showing the lack of the crowd.
Mm.
It's doable.
Yeah.
And with the PGA Tour, I reckon Trump would just ignore everything the WHO advised and go ahead anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's weird. You don't know what's going to happen.
No. I actually had Eddie Pepperell marked down as a possible contender.
Right.
This week.
Did that put you off?
No, it didn't put me off. He's 33-1. Maybe I just thought that it wasn't quite factored into his price that he's not played for a while now. But he does get...
Maybe he's received assurances that there's hand gel on every tee box.
33-1, Eddie Pepperell. He was reasonably tempting for me this week. Others?
Well, you could look at it from what we've said, any Scot and any South African.
Yeah, well, I looked at Darren Fickout, who has a runner-up finish at Doha Golf Club, and he's 125-1. Jordan Smith is playing. He bounced back last week, and he's got some good numbers.
Yes, he has.
He's 33-1, and Gavin Green, 30-1, should play well as well.
I'd rather be on Keimer than Pete. Keimer's very, very consistent at the minute, isn't he, his results?
Yeah.
So you just expect him to be up there. Whether
and he's hitting the ball well, isn't
he? Yeah, whether he's backable at 14s, but I think every chance he runs into a place.
Mm. Okay, shall we move on?
Yes.
Let's talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where Rory McIlroy tops the betting at 5-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 14s. Bryson DeChambeau is 16-1. Hideki Matsuyama, 20-1. Xander Schauffele is 20-1. Adam Scott is 22s. Patrick Reed, 25s, along with Sung Jae Im. Brooks Koepka, 28-1. 33-1, Jason Day and Ricky Fowler and Tony Finau. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. The Florida swing continuing with a trip to Arnie's place for the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Real high quality event this one, which has been Tiger Woods' playground since the start of the millennium. Tiger not in attendance this week, he's missing this one. When do we start to get worried about Tiger Woods, or do we just accept this is the new norm?
Yeah, it does seem an odd one to miss for someone who's won it 8 times.
Yeah,
but I guess everything these days will be with the Masters in mind, won't it? So he obviously feels it doesn't quite fall right, or he's not ready, I don't know.
Well, he said that, I think he's intimated that the back is just not quite right at the moment.
Yeah.
But maybe this is just Tiger's going to play 8 or 9 times a season.
Yeah.
He's going to play the 4 majors. If he skips next week...
The Players?
Yeah, that would be...
You'd be worried,
more of
you?
A concern, yeah, I think, than him skipping this week. Just because the Players is such a prestigious event.
It is, but he's won it, and he'd be thinking, I don't know, will he...
But do you think this new Tiger Woods, do you think a course like Sawgrass is a better fit for him now than...
Possibly, but...
Bay Hill?
But it's sort of something he can afford to miss. At the end of the day, it's still only the Players' Championship. It's not a major.
Yeah.
And if he's thinking, if I get given... like a 6. I mean, the early morning weather in Florida is chilly.
Mm.
So if he's thinking, I could do without that. So he might just, you know, it's a big old field. He's going to get one early tee time. Maybe he's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe like the match play might suit him a bit. Well, even then he won't want to play too many times. It's hard to know, isn't it?
But it is, but I'd be more concerned given he skipped this week.
Yeah.
If he then skips next week... in well. Such a big event
and
as well,
just...
then it might be more, you'd be more worried about his health than you are right now.
Although we've been down this road before, and every time you think, oh, he's done, and he's... then he
showed he can...
The way
he showed when he won
Japan,
the Zozo, yeah.
That he can have a long time off and come out and win.
Yeah. And it has been Tiger's lair for so many years because of the way he used to take apart the par fives and was dominant on those holes. There's 4 of them on this layout at Bay Hill, all very gettable as well. And the recipe to success has been to play the par fours quite conservatively off the tee and on approach, and then make birdies on the par fives. The course itself, 7,454 yards, plays to that par of 72. And the Bermuda grass greens are so quick. The lightning can run up to 13 on the stimp meter. And the changes that were made in 2015 have given this more of an Augusta feel, with those runoff areas into water hazards which come into play on a number of holes. And with it being in Florida, the wind can be a factor as well. What do you see as keys to success around this property?
Yeah, what you've said. But when I look at the strokes gain stats, the one that jumps out is strokes gain putting. I've always thought of this as somewhere where you need to put well. Lauren Roberts, a great putter, won it back-to-back. Tiger's obviously won there, putting great. I looked at the strokes gain putting stats of the last seven winners. And Tiger was first in 2013. Matt Every third and eighth when he won back-to-back. Which was weird, wasn't it, that one? Jason Day, always great putty, was sixth for the week. Leishman was second strokes gain putting when he won. McIlroy had a brilliant putting week, was first for strokes gain putting. And Molinari, who traditionally we didn't think was a good putter, but he became one, didn't he, when he was that rich vein of form winning.
Do we call that a purple patch now, or do we think he comes back?
Yeah, so he was fourth strokes gain putting. So all of the last seven winners have... That, you know, that's clearly the dominant stat when you look at them.
Yeah.
Others have, you know, around the green, Molinari wasn't great when he won it. McIlroy wasn't brilliant off the tee when he won it. So the others are a bit in and out, but that seems to be the one that you've got to do well. So, for example, last week, Sung Jae-in, first in strokes gain tee to green, but only 31st in strokes gain putting.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant fit for that course, but I don't think it's as good a fit for this course.
Okay, that's interesting. I've just got the one pick. I know you've got three selections here, haven't you? So you can fire away.
Yeah, I'm sort of chancing my arm a bit with three fairly big prices.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Kevin Na.
Can definitely see that. Yeah, 90-1.
Someone who could... It's a big price, isn't it?
It is a really big price.
He's won three times in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
If we use the Paul Azinger rule of winning on the PGA Tour is hard, that's sensational, isn't it? 90-1, and you've got a load of non-winners who are miles shorter than that. So Kevin Na seems to be just judged on pre-winning Kevin Na when he did your head in a little bit.
Yeah, and I think people see Kevin Na and just see, like, 5 foot something, doesn't hit it very far off the tee, isn't suited to PGA Tour golf. And
they still think he's maybe the slowest person on earth. He's got some sort of yips or something. I don't know. He couldn't swing. And
apparently, I've got no knowledge of this whatsoever, but from what I've heard, his pace of play has improved over the last 12 months.
Yeah, he's become more of a sort of cult figure, hasn't he, when he walks the ball into the hole. Yeah. Tiger sort of mimicked him, didn't he? And he's become all a bit of good old Kevin Na rather than a bit of a pariah sort of figure. But he's got the Bay Hill form, second, fourth, or sixth as well. A couple of other top 15, so really does like that course. And he's playing well of late. 14th at Pebble, then 9th at the Mexico on his last start. You look at the season-long strokes game putting stats, he's there in sixth place. So I think he's doing the thing well. I think you need to do well. He's got the course form, current form, and the price, just the price, isn't it? I think Kevin Na is just being underrated, something rotten there at 90-1.
Very good. And 90-1 Kevin Na is Dave's first selection. Is he the headline pick then as well? I know you had Charles Schwartzel who went close to nabbing a place.
Officially. Headline pick.
I'm going towards the top of the betting for my one selection here, and it's Bryson DeChambeau at 16-1. I just think he's
you
a stand.
You tipped him last time.
No, I was very close to backing him in Mexico.
You've had your head turned by him, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mentioned his prospects before that WGC and saying that he was one that I was going to target in the Florida swing, and he traded at 1-7 before falling to the American hero Patrick Reed in Mexico at Chapultepec. And this week he goes to a venue where he's had success in the past, having finished second behind McIlroy at Bay Hill in 2018. His iron play is improving with each passing week, very strong off the tee in his last three events, and crucially puts Bermuda grass greens well. Fifth in the Genesis, second in Mexico. I just think he should be clear second favourite this week behind McIlroy, and 16s is palatable for an each way bet. I'm sure he'll be determined to make amends for his loss in Mexico as well, where he should have won, really. and I thought 16-1 was fair from an each way betting perspective here. So DeChambeau, who's Long Island players, I think Long Island play is a real key and critical quality this week, and his numbers he ranks really well in terms of 175 and out,
yeah,
so far this season. So 16-1 DeChambeau is my pick.
Okay, very good. I'm going back way down the betting, so 100-1.
And okay,
Harris English.
Yeah,
it was kind of all the rage. Well, not all the rage, but he was kind of popular last week at maybe 55s and that kind of price, 60s. I don't think he did an awful lot wrong. He finished 17th at the Honda, was the joint first round leader, had a bit of a dip in the middle,
yeah,
but came back, finished well with a 68, and that followed 16th in Phoenix. Then he had that run the other side of Christmas when he had four top sixes in five events. The big key seeming to be that he's turned his ball striking around. And his ball striking was not bad last week. Decent strokes gained tee to green figures. And his putting as well is holding up nicely. So I was surprised to get him to 100-1. He's not got a sensational course form, but he's 22nd a couple of years ago. Wasn't a bad knock. Got another 14th, another 29th. It's mainly on price. It was just kind of thinking, why should he be that much more popular last week?
Yeah.
And I know there's some bigger names in here, but I just thought, when you've not done a lot wrong and actually finished on a good note, I think he can get involved.
Yeah, 100-1. Harris English. And the third pick?
The third pick, yes. I am going for... see, this will bring a smile to your face, given that we've probably written him off as never going to win ever. Patrick Rodgers.
Okay. Okay. I didn't expect that.
No.
125s.
Oh, was he? Oh, he's been cut.
Has
then.
He? Was he 150s?
Yes.
Okay.
Still, I can't go back now. I can't turn back now.
Yeah.
Again, strokes game putting. You'll find Patrick Rodgers 14th this season, so he's certainly playing well on the greens. He's, in terms of form, he was 21st at Honda. I thought that was a nice effort back on the back of 35th in Puerto Rico, where he played well for three rounds, but just had a poor last day, 75. 9th at Torrey Pines, 16th in Phoenix. I think he's got a nice bank of form.
Yeah,
going. And in terms of this event, he's had four appearances, made the cut three times. 7th 2 years ago, so obviously that was a very nice effort on the kind of newer Bay Hill. 20th on his debut in 2016. Just sort of little additions, little bits here and there that you put them all together, putting well, performing well. I think maybe there's always this thought that, oh, if he does win, it'll be on the West Coast, near where he went to Stanford and all that kind of thing. But I think he might just have a little bit less pressure on him here. And I just thought 125-1 in a week where I'm looking to be a little bit more maybe ambitious. Because the front of the market, I know you like DeChambeau. To me, that looked a tad short.
Yeah, okay.
Fleetwood, you think it's maybe got a bit of baggage from last week, and I think last week's track was more of a Tommy Fleetwood course than this one.
Do you think Fleetwood should be in front of DeChambeau in the betting? Because I really don't.
No, I think that's kind of, we're a UK bookie, and I don't know, maybe he's just... I don't know.
I think Fleetwood will go well, but DeChambeau is a prolific winner on the PGA Tour.
Fleetwood hasn't missed a cut for about 20 years, so he's more likely to maybe get fifth.
Yeah.
But DeChambeau has obviously done a lot more winning on the PGA Tour. I mean, there are some prices, aren't there? If you've not followed golf for maybe the last 3 months and you just looked at these, you'd say, what's Brooks Koepka doing at 28-1? What's Justin Rose doing at 40-1? What's Ricky Fowler doing at 33-1? Yeah. Traditionally, they'd be higher up.
They've all got a little bit to prove at the moment,
yes,
haven't
that's
they?
That's why, yeah.
Yeah, Justin Rose is as a bit...
He's baffled you, hasn't he?
Well, I just wonder how long he's going to stick with the Honda clubs.
It's not really worked for him.
Not at all. Is Koepka gearing up?
Koepka's putting stats are horrible. They were terrible last week.
He thought he played well, didn't he?
Yeah, he kind of he had some destructive holes. So when he has a bad swing on a Florida course, you're more likely to make a double, aren't you? Because there's water lurking. So I think that did for him a few times. But
he's the one that I play out of those three you've just mentioned.
I would maybe go Fowler because he's got some excellent course form here. And I just think he's rusty. I don't think he's played enough.
Yeah.
I went through with a fine tooth comb his quotes, and I think he was interviewed last week, and they're asking him, what's the state of your game? And he slightly dodged the question a couple of times.
Right.
So I kind of went, maybe he's not quite ready in his head. I think he was saying he's got something like a 7-week build to Augusta, so I think this is the early steps of it, and I think it's a bit too soon.
What do you make to Xander Schauffele? The putting is probably a primary concern for Schauffele because he's not putting well, and he historically hasn't putted that well on Bermuda grass greens either.
Yeah, same with Finau, isn't it?
But tee to green.
Yeah, he has some amazing numbers.
Yeah, I don't think there's a player.
Yeah.
The field apart from McIlroy, who's.
Again, I would then say he should have played last week. I think his game would have been brilliant for last week.
Maybe so, but I think his long iron play just stands him in such good stead around this golf course because you have to throttle back off the tee. You've got a lot of shots on these par fours from 175 to 225, and at the moment he's the best player in the world
from that distance. If he gets to the green and just can't hole any putts, it's kind of a bit irrelevant.
That's a concern, but he did finish tied second at Augusta last season, which I kind of look at those greens at Augusta National and compare them to Bay Hill in terms of how quick they are, very similar speeds, and if he puts adequately, I think he'll be a big threat this week, Schauffele.
If you're going on that, then what about Patrick Reed, 25s?
Yeah,
I just think I'm almost, which is silly thinking, I'm almost thinking, well, he's just won, so he can't win again so quick because it's not something he's really done in his career, win, you know, quickly in succession.
Yeah.
But in theory, Patrick Reed should do well here.
Yeah.
Jason Day, if he was playing well, again, 33s, puts obviously fast greens.
Good setup for him.
Yeah. Ryan Moore's always someone you think of putting well on fast greens. Mm. What, I mean, 90s is. Is his price? There's lots to go at, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Mickelson, 70s.
No, not for me.
Not for you.
Not for me.
No.
But I'll from the big prices that you've picked, Kevin Na was.
Oh, okay.
Very close to me. Others, I just want to. I've got him marked down. Others, I just want to quickly mention. Bubba Watson has a mixed record here, but he's playing well at the moment. 50-1, Bubba.
Yeah.
He's talked in the past about having trouble with the layout from the tee because he likes hitting driver everywhere, and this course doesn't really allow that. It demands that you hit 3-wood and long irons off a number of tees, and that kind of confuses him.
Yeah, I think that sort of waters down his main asset, doesn't it? Some of his creativity and being able to pound it in huge arcs.
Europeans have a good record.
They do.
Rafa Cabrera Bello was one that stood out to me at 70-1. He played well at the track last year, was it, I think?
Yeah.
And he comes in having finished 17th and 16th in his last couple of starts, playing well.
My kind of European, I was thinking, if I want a European and a good putting European, Matt Fitzpatrick, who's 45s.
Yeah.
But just his putter doesn't seem very warm at the minute. Put me off a little bit.
That seems skinny to me, 45-1.
Does it?
Yeah, I prefer Morikawa at the same price.
Yeah, it's probably a bit of that as well. So if he was in putting brilliantly, I think this is somewhere. Well, wasn't he runner-up last year?
Mm.
Then, you know, he could do something similar, but I just think he's not quite on it.
Yeah.
Might get it back. Victor Hovland, what did you think about him?
Yeah, do you think Hovland's, I mean, he obviously won in Puerto Rico, then missed a cut. Do you think it might take him a little bit of time to get back on the horse?
Possibly. And Benny Ahn as well. I thought, obviously, he played great last week, but again, I thought his stats last week were very much suited for that course.
He was well found last week in the market, wasn't he?
Yeah,
as well.
He was well found. Yeah. He hit it great, but put it out.
It was some comeback from him because he was joking on Twitter after his opening round on Thursday that he'd booked a he'd booked a rental car to drive to the next venue, basically, and then ended up finishing tied fourth, which was
some effort.
You can have that at the Honda Classic, though. That's what that's what makes it such an intriguing tournament. Yeah,
throws you right.
You're
back
in, aren't you?
Yeah. Two others at bigger prices: Wyndham Clark, who continues to play well, and Maverick McNeely at hundreds. Is he still at hundreds?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
So that could be a decent price.
We've been through a lot of the field, haven't we?
We have most of the field.
So let's give the selections for this week in Qatar.
Qatar, I will go a point each way on Conor Syme at 80-1.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way. Xander Lombard, unfortunately, at 66-1 now. Dave?
In at Bay Hill, Arnie's event, I'll go a point each way on Kevin Na at 90-1. He's my nap. And then I'll go half a point each way on Harris English at 100s and half a point each way on Patrick Rogers at 125.
Yeah, just 1.5 points each way. Bryson DeChambeau at 16-1 for me. Dave, thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us both on Twitter, at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, and you can leave your comments on Twitter about this golf podcast. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And we've got the players coming up next week. Looking forward to that. If you're having a bet on the golf this week with William Hill, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.